And now for something completely different. Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called the Christian Journey. First, as you may know, our teachings on the David Spoon Experience don't always follow the conventional patterns. Sometimes we dive into exegetical studies. Sometimes we explore topical themes. And sometimes we just go with the flow. Today's teaching will be a little bit of a blend of all three, I hope. Do you remember the television show Cheers? As Christians, we're not supposed to endorse it because it was set in a bar. But as you know, by the way, that's as if no Christian ever set foot in a bar. I mean, really, come on. Okay. But that raises the question, how was Jesus a friend of the sinners and the drunkards if he never talked to them? Anyway, in that show, the theme song was the key element. The characters were decent and some lines were memorable, but the essence of the show was about going to a place where everybody knows who you are. There are three principles that could connect a true Christian to the concept of the theme song of the sitcom of Cheers. First, it's to know others. Second, it's to be known by others. And third is not to be alone. So finally, it's crucial to understand that Jesus knows us far beyond our capacity to know ourselves. In fact, Nathaniel asked a fascinating question. How do you know me? The answer is even more dramatic. He is God, and God knows everything and everyone. That's why Jesus is called the shepherd. What's most amazing is how much God knows us both individually and collectively, and still decides to spend eternity with us. That's amazing. So we examine a psalm together that astonishes our mind but secures our heart. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness, for loving us and wanting to be with us. Yes, and amen.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Nice. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Now remember, it's not professional radio. I got to say that again. It is not professional radio. It's just radio. And we're asking you, what do you think? So you can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org, david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us live during the show. So whether you're in San Diego, whether you're in Denver, whether you're in Dallas or Detroit, text us. 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us using the telly. What, the telly? Yes, use the telly. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob. Boy, oh boy. That's like waking up and feeling like you got a great night's sleep. Yay! Hello.
Thank you, David. Happy Wowzer Bowser Wednesday.
Happy Wowzer Bowser Wednesday to you, my friend. Happy Wowzer Bowser Wednesday. So I thought it was cool. Dave McKinnon, our future landlord, technically is our landlord now, was listening to some of the show. So that's always nice. So, you know, it's kind of a blessing. See, new listener. Ha! See? one at a time. We do one at a time. All right, let's get back to the reality check.
He gets to hear our shenanigans.
Yeah, yeah. Which, what I'm more concerned about is he's going to call me up and go, I've had second thoughts. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is you can call, you can text, you can email, or you can try and send a paper airplane. Just don't feel like it can get through. You know, the door is secured. I just don't feel people can get through with a paper airplane. But you can do it if you've got a prayer request. You can do it if you've got a praise report. You can do it if you've got something you want to share. Maybe you've got a bad joke, because we have plenty of them here. We use those. We've got some history that we're going to share. Plus, we also do Bible trivia. Here's your next Bible trivia question. This should not be difficult for anyone anywhere. Who is this person? I was the son of a Greek and a Jewish believer. I took care of the church at Ephesus. Who am I? Am I Timothy? Am I Paul? Or am I Jude? I was the son of a Greek and a Jewish believer. I took care of the church at Ephesus. Who am I? Am I Timothy? Am I Paul? Am I Jude? Let's see if you can figure out who was the son of a Greek and a Jewish believer. And then let me help it with one more thing. This person had a letter written to them. I'll leave that there. If you think you know the answer, then you want to give us a holler. 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So the reason that I can't give you a reference point is because then you will go, oh, I know. And so I got to have you think about this a little bit. I will just simply say this, and here's the question. I was the son of a Greek and a Jewish believer. That means that the mom was Jewish and the dad was Greek, okay? And I took care of the church of Ephesus. And I even had a letter written to me. Who am I? Am I Timothy, Paul, or Jude? That is the question. And we do have somebody on the phone that doth want to answer. I cannot, like I said, give you the reference. Because, you know, sometimes you get the reference and be like, ding. So let's have that person come on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, David. This is Alan.
Hello, Alan. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Awesome. I'm so glad you're doing great. Pretty nice day today, huh?
Yeah, a little hot, but we're blessed.
Little hotter than it's been, and then I hear it's going to get cold, like in a mighty hurry in the next couple of days. So it's going to be hotter today, then cold, then hotter again, which somebody told me the weather in Texas was bipolar, which I thought that was a good line. Anyway, because it's like it changes so often. All right, my friend, I'll set the question up, and then you can answer it. You ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. I was the son of a Greek and a Jewish believer. I took care of the church at Ephesus. I had a letter written to me. Am I Timothy? Am I Paul? Or am I Jude? Who am I?
I believe it's maybe Timothy.
That is correct, Amigo! You are so right, sir! That is exactly it. And Timothy, his mom was his mom and his grandmother, Lois and Eunice. So both of the Jewish faith, his dad was Greek. That was fine. Didn't matter. And he took care of the church at Ephesus, kind of a protege of Paul's, and probably took over a lot of those responsibilities. That's what people think anyway. So that was an excellent job. Did you know right away?
I thought it was Paul for a second. Then I thought about it, and I said, that's Timothy.
That's it. Excellent job. That's great, because in your mind, that'll be cemented forever. So that's an excellent job, the way that you thought that through. Excellent.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm doing swimming pools, driving around, listening to the word, and just keep it up, buddy. We love you.
All right. God bless you, bro.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. See, I love calls like that. Alan Collin, that's just wonderful. You're like, what is wrong with you today? Nothing. Although I did, in fact, move too many boxes. Did I tell you that already? I told you that, right?
Yes.
How do you know, Dave, that you moved too many boxes?
It sounds like you're loving the moving experience.
I'll tell you how much I love it. Do you remember when you had a hole drilled in your forehead? Oh, sorry. Oh, I thank the Lord for everything. Don't do it. But, you know, and it is as good as it can get. I will say that. Okay? Like, you know, when they're getting ready to quarter you. Anyway, so I'm just trying to say those kind of things. All right, let's do our DNA. Hey, this is part of the fun. I mean, you one thing you have with me as a radio host, I'm telling you what I go through. You get to hear it, all of it, which is sometimes good and sometimes bad. All right, here's our DNA. D, draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day. Every day, every day, every day. I just, in my day, so I start my day off. I try to get to the Word as early as I can. Sometimes I don't do it. But I will tell you, after I get my time in on the Word, for everybody it's different. But for me, when I get my certain amount of time and my appetite has been quenched because I have eaten the good word of the Lord, everything else just reduces in its intensity. I don't know what it is. I cannot figure it out. I mean, it's just something I just don't get it. But once I've spent time with the Lord, it's like everything else is just the perspective is different and the priority is different because He is number one. And when we draw closer to Him, it's the best thing we can ever do. You might not be a brilliant theologian. You might not be a great speaker. You might not be a great witnesser. You might not be any of those things. But you can be as close to God as you want to be. Nobody can stop you from that. Nobody. So draw closer to the Lord daily. D. And never be ashamed of Jesus or His words. As we talked about in the earlier 30 minutes, you can count on it that people will use the Word of God to be, you know, to their advantages, for their purposes, right? That's not why we use the Word of God. The Word of God is part of our communication with God so we can know God and follow Him. And so never be ashamed of what He has to say. And if people don't like it, here's the best answer you can ever give them. I want you to remember this. You can just emblazon this anywhere in your house. Ready? If they don't like that you are a believer in the Word of God and they're trying to shame you and stuff, here's the best thing you can respond to them. Tough. Tough. That's what I'm going to do. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve. So in the process of being close to the Lord and not being ashamed of what He has to say, comes that next process of being available. Does that service always mean you're in a soup line pouring out soup? Nope. It can mean that. It should mean that from time to time, that kind of thing, sure. You should volunteer your efforts. It's time, talent, and treasure that you need to give to the Lord. Your time is precious. Your talent, whatever He's gifted you. Your treasure, whatever you're steward with, you give that unto the Lord. But your preparedness for service is what's being required. Is that service the same each and every day? No. Is that service different from time to time? Sure. It can be a phone call. It could be an email. It could be praying for somebody. Walk in step with the Spirit, as the Scripture commands us to walk in step with the Spirit and be ready, presenting yourself for the Lord to use you for whatever, when whatever. Okay? All right. That's the DNA. Draw closer to the Lord daily. D, and never be ashamed of Jesus or His words, and always be ready to serve. A. All right. So I want to get into this word, and we're going to jump into it, if you guys don't mind. Wonderful call by Ellen, by the way. Here it is. I want you to understand something when I do these kind of things. I do get people that get a little upset. I understand that. Here's my response to that again. Tough. Here it is. People want to go, and that's what Cheers was like. People want to go where everybody knows your name. That was, in fact, the theme song. And so the whole point was that people want to go where everybody knows your name. The thing that humans are uniquely created in is not isolation from the universe, but in fact, connectiveness and connectivity to others. Being alone is not good. So how do we know being alone is not good? And let me explain that. So being alone does not mean you're with somebody 24/7. But being alone is being on your own with no connection anywhere. And God said this in the garden. It is not good for man to be alone. But Dave, there were animals. Yes, God blessed that connection between Adam and the animals. He named the animals, all of them. But it was still not the same. He needed other people in his life. And you might think, nope, I'm Lone Wolf McQuade. I don't need anybody. Well, even Lone Wolf McQuade in the movie needed somebody. So, being an isolated sheep simply makes you an easier target for the wolf. And I ain't talking about the movie actor. I'm talking about the enemy. You don't have to be with somebody 24/7, but you have to be connected to other believers, because it's not good for you to be alone. If you're listening to this show, you know that's true. We are praying for you. People are praying for people all over on this. And we love that, because that's what we need. We need to know others. We need to be known. And we need to not be alone. Right? That's so important. So we're going to get into this in the depth of the scripture. When we come back, we'll take our break here. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then the show starts, and you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience, only for the brave of heart and the bored.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
So the situation for the woman turned out to be fine. But remember, he's there with Jairus, and Jairus' daughter is dying. Verse 35, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." This is a situation for Jairus that went from worse to the worst. All right, you know how we said it can go from bad to worse? We were talking about that. Well, it can go from bad to worse to the worst. And this is the worst. The guy's daughter died.
Oh, she wasn't just really sick.
She died dead. And they even said to her, "What? There's no point in talking to this guy anymore. This is over. Situation done." And that's how a lot of us process. Situation done. But then Jesus does what Jesus does, because he's so amazing. He overheard what they said to him. They didn't say it to Jesus. They said it to the guy. They said it to Jairus, right? And they said to him, "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." So there are three things that you can't miss this. Number one, Jesus is telling the guy whose daughter just died, ignore them. It's like, can you imagine? Okay. The doctor just pronounced her dead. Yeah, ignore that guy. What? He's the doctor. Ignore that guy. That's just like the blind man who are like, people are telling him, be quiet, stop it, stop it. And he shouts out all the more. It's at some point you just got to ignore any external noise that hasn't been sanctioned by God and just go, yeah, I'm not paying attention to that. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas, where we, on this radio show, believe firmly that we are a family and a fellowship. We're not your church. We are a fellowship, a place for you to connect to other believers, which we are talking about today just in the beginning. And then, of course, we're going to get to the connection part with the Lord. But it's important for everybody out there who can hear my voice to listen to this. Exactly what I'm going to say before I even do. I can just tell the Lord's just going in this direction, so just follow. We'll do the trivia in a second, but listen to me. If you have been involved in fellowship, if you have been involved in relationship, if you have been involved with people, you are well aware that people are not perfect. You are well aware that there is great turmoil and trouble because mankind is in rebellion towards God with a sinful nature that needs to be changed by being born again. That's just that there's no other way around it. And so in that process, though, people have hurt other people. And even as Christians, people hurt other people. Some of you have been in bad churches like I have been in. You've been in bad situations, bad relationships, things that are just super, super bad, right? People will come in and out of your life. And the Lord will have people come in and out of your life. He'll direct that. But what you need to find is the ability, let me say it because somebody's going to hate me when I say this. You need to still connect with people. Yeah, I understand the safety need. Yeah, I understand some of you used to go to church. Now you're not going to go to church because that church burned you or the pastor was mean to you or the people were mean to you, whatever. I got it. But it is not an excuse to separate yourself from the body of Christ. That is not permitted. The idea of being a monk in the New Testament is far removed from what Jesus called Christians to be, and that is brothers and sisters together. I appreciate that you might want to take it slow. I appreciate that you might want to dip your toe in the water to make sure it's okay and safe, and I have no problem with whatever that process is, but you cannot quit on fellowship. You cannot separate yourself and be the lone Christian ranger. You have to do this as a team, and I will tell you one of the main reasons that this is true. First, of course, is the command from Jesus. As I have loved you, love one another. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, by your love one for another. That's not every person on the planet, by the way. That's the brotherhood. And by the way, when it says love your neighbor, Jesus made it clear that the neighbor was people that God brings into your life, not somebody you've never met or never saw ever. And so additionally, these are super important principles, but here's the thing that I'm going to say that you will not be able to deny. It is a command from Jesus for us to love each other, to love the brethren. By this we know we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. It is a command from Jesus that the gifts he's put inside of you are for the benefit of others and not yourself. That is the real great understanding. Instead of saying, well, tongues shouldn't be a part of anything because they just edify the person, that is not what was being said in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. What was being said is make yourself available to be a blessing to others because that's how it was designed. That's what's being said. So instead of running away, you need to take the Lord's hand and walk into fellowship. Now, somebody really needed to hear that, and you need to respond to that. Stop running away. Stop making excuses. And, oh, by the way, the excuse, well, there's so many hypocrites in the church. Well, what's one more? Get it? All right. All right, now we'll go back to the trivia question. Just do that. This is just one of the things the Lord wanted me to do, so I did it. Here we go. Here's your trivia question. Who, now this is an easy one, but it is referenced, 1 Kings chapter 6, who built the temple in Israel? Which king built the temple in Israel? 1 Kings chapter 6. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You know, so text 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Who built the temple in Israel? Which kingy? First Kings chapter 6, that is your reference point. That is a key. We encourage you to call in 972-445-0770. We also encourage you to text 214-210-8483. We encourage you to do jumping jacks. I'm kidding. And we also encourage you to send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Somebody is ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to? Oh. Turn your radio down. Turn your radio down.
This is Bunker.
I'm sorry. Who is this?
This is Bunker.
Bunker. Can you turn your radio all the way down? Got it? You there?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you hear you now? So when the radio is on, it does that echo, and it goes, abba, 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 abba. So now I can hear it. All right. Yeah, are you ready?
Yeah, this is Bunker.
Yeah, I heard you. I know who you are, little brother. I just don't know why your radio was on.
Well, I was in a bunker.
No!
I found a burger bunker.
No, sounds like you were in the basement. That's what I'm going with.
No, it's a bunker.
It's a bunker. I thought you were playing Bunko. Are you playing Bunko? Okay, here we go. Here we go. You had your radio on. You know that, little brother, right? You had your radio on. I can't believe you did that. Who built the temple in Israel? 1 Kings chapter 6. Who built the temple?
That was King David's son, King Solomon.
That is correct, Amundo, little brother! You are right as rain. Just like when you eat chocolate chip cookies, you feel right as rain. That's it, right there. How you doing, by the way?
Good. Actually, I should have said, this is Graham Bell, because you've been using a lot of telly.
That's a good one. All right, how's the family feeling? Everybody feeling good? Everybody doing well? Better, anyway?
Yeah, I mean, yes.
Okay, that's good, though. That's a good report, right?
Yes, it is.
We love good reports.
Good.
All right. What can we do? Right. Is there anything we can pray for you in?
Well, I just want to encourage everybody to keep praying for Israel and for the body of Christ. Yeah.
That's important. You know why that's so important is because when you pray, like for Israel, and when you pray for the body of Christ, you connect. And so when Paul said in Romans 15:30, join me in my struggle by praying for me, it makes it absolutely clear that you connect through prayer. You connect with one another. So you don't have to physically be present to be connected. And so it's an important point to be connected to the people of God, the apple of God's eye, to be connected to the children of the Most High, to be connected to your brothers and sisters. So by praying for them, that is a great method, one of the top methods of being connected is by praying for them. That's really important.
Yeah.
Excellent job. Nice little leap for me to use. I appreciate that.
Good. Well, I'm praying for your moving, and I hope everything goes well.
Me too, brother. Me too. That's all I can say. I'm not going to really – we won't really know until we've finished it. And I did say to Jacob, and I think I said it on the air, I'll be happier when I'm not talking about moving.
Yeah, just one thing I want to encourage you to, please don't take your Christmas tree, otherwise you're going to break everything.
Good one. That's a good one. I'll scratch the card.
You, brother.
Take care,
have
brother.
Have fun.
Bye-bye. I'll scratch it to no end, right? Oh, yeah. Okay. That's for those that don't know, if that Phil comes in, that would be more the humor of the Lord than anything. Okay. Here's the thing I want to talk to you about. All right. So and then we'll take 2 minutes and then we'll break. So listen to me. This is really important. Okay. People have let you down and they will continue to let you down. Okay. That is not an excuse to separate yourself from people. You do not get to go to Mars and just hang out there, okay? And I have, like I told you, my brother-in-law works for JPL, who wrote the code for the Mars rover, the Land Rover. I got it, okay? I can tell you more about Mars than you'd probably want to know. And but his greatest accomplishment in that was telling me it's a big ball of dirt. Anyway, the point is this. You can't go to Mars. You're a part of the body of Christ. If you're not a part of the body of Christ, that means that you've become like a cyst or a wart and you get cut off. That's a dumb idea. Be a part of the body of Christ. Even though people have hurt you, and I understand that. But what I want you to hear from me today is even if you've been severely wounded, and you are in that place where you are feeling exceedingly lonely, the answer from God is more unique than you may be aware of. And that is what we're going to explore in this last part of the show. The real answer from God about being lonely. How about that? We'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM.
The David Spoon Experience.
And that hope that is offered to us is something that's supposed to greatly encourage us. Jesus brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Through the gospel that Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again. And by faith in the testimony of God, you can live forever. That hope is offered to us. If that hope is offered to you and you have not yet accepted, acknowledged, and surrendered to it, I ask you to do so right this second. I don't even care if you do a fancy prayer. Just say, God, save me in Jesus' name. You will be saved. If you believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross, was buried, 3 days later he rose again, and you surrender your heart to Jesus Christ, turning from where you were and turning to him, you will find life right now. And you might be out there thinking, there's no way it can be that easy. Wrong, but you have to receive it. You have to surrender to it. You have to acknowledge God's testimony and say yes to Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what your friends say. Doesn't matter what any other family member says. It only matters for your decision before God in regards to his testimony relating to Jesus Christ and your sins. And that's the hope that is offered to us. And we can be greatly encouraged by that. And that hope is an anchor to our soul. That anchor makes it so that even if the winds are heavy and the waves are intense, we don't get tossed and lost. That there is some stability, that there is some strength. And you can't be like those people that have no hope. All there is this life and there's nothing else. That's why they're trying to sin their brains out, because they don't think there's anything else left. But they're going to die and face God. And he's going to ask regarding his account that he's given in relationship to Jesus Christ. And they're going to have to answer. And if they have rejected, then they will be as they have placed themselves as people with no hope. But if you're a person that has not made that decision to say yes to Jesus Christ, make that decision right now. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where I can tell you right now the Lord is redirecting some of the things I'm going to be teaching. So all I can say is you better hang on. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to say anything else. But where it goes is wherever the Lord wants it to go. What's that, Phil? Roads? We don't need roads. Okay, here's your next trivia question. Let's see if you can get this. I think you guys should be able, well, I assume you guys should be able to get this anyway. So this is similar to one we've done, but you should, again, I was Paul's companion and Paul wrote me an epistle. Who am I? Am I Titus, Lucas, or Silvanus? Am I Titus, Lucas, or Silvanus? Silvanus is not really the right thing. I can't give you the reference point, but who am I? I was a Paul's companion. And Paul wrote me an epistle. Who am I? Am I Titus, am I Lucas, or am I Silvanus? That is your question. By the way, 2 Corinthians 7:13 could actually be a reference now that it's been brought to my attention. 2 Corinthians 7:13 would be a good reference point. If you think you know the answer, by the way, you are welcome to call us at 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So I do have to tell you that I am going to send you to the website. And you might be thinking, well, you always send us to the website. At least twice a show, you send us to the website. Right. So we exist by donation. So that is why. I do want to remind everybody the new book is up there that I've written. It's not a brilliant book. It's just a book to encourage your faith. If you can't afford it, tell me, and we'll get one for you. Just that simple. In the meantime, if you're able to give, please do so. That keeps things going, and we need things to keep going. Luke 6:38, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Check all this stuff out and more on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I'm sorry. I just find that to be hilarious. I would like to use that after like 10 or 12 teaching sessions in a row. I finish the teaching session, and then you'd play that. Ah, do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? I just think that'd be brilliant.
I could grab it and have it play separately.
It's just too funny. I'm sorry. All right. Somebody is ready to answer their trivia question. By the way, we're not going to be doing the history or whatever in this segment, just so you can be aware of that. All right. Send that person on through. Knock, knock, this is David. Who am I talking to? Knock, knock, this is David. Who am I talking to? Are they there? Hello? Hello? Okay, can I
Call back.
Okay, can you please call back? Call back. They'll call back. We'll give them a chance to call back because sometimes the phones are goofy, and that it does happen that way. So the trivia question, I am Paul's companion. Paul wrote me an epistle. Did you get that? I was Paul's companion. Paul wrote me an epistle. Am I Titus, Lucas, or Silvanus? That is the question. All right. This teaching is about to get somewhat intense. It might get so intense we might not take a break. I'm just telling you right now. So you better just be ready for anything, okay? I forewarn you. I'm telling you. So in life, you find out that you have tribulations. Have you noticed that there are times in your life where things are hard? Have you noticed that there are difficult times? Jesus is not unfamiliar with those tribulations and mentions it. But he also mentions what pulls him through. And what I want to share about is where we need to be when those tribulations have to do with some of that loneliness. So we're going to get to that in a minute. We do have a person who's on the line who hopefully that phone call will come through. We're about to find out. I think so, yes. Should we send them through or not?
We do have somebody, but it's different. Ace was the one that called before.
Okay, Ace called before. So
yes, now we have Eric.
Okay, all right. So let's put Eric on, and then we'll go from there. So send Eric through. Knock, knock. This is David. Is this my friend Eric?
Dun, dun, dun. Hey, just waiting on the trumpet.
Hey, I apologize, Ace. I cut you out of the lineup there. So
you don't have to apologize for making the phone call, brother.
Well, let me get off the phone real quick. Let me answer the trivia and have Ace call back.
All right, it's up to Ace. And then if he doesn't call this time, you can call next time. If he doesn't call that, he can call tomorrow. But let's finish it off. I was Paul's companion. Paul wrote me an epistle. Boy, that was very nice of him. Who am I? Am I Titus, Lucas, or Sylvanus?
I'm going to say Titus.
That is correct, Lucas! Your reference point, 2 Corinthians 7:13, plus Titus 1:4 would also be your reference point. So that's why we did the one with Timothy, and then this one was with Titus. So we weren't trying to make it very sneaky or anything, but it just turned out that way. So, by the way, before you hang up, how you doing?
How am I doing? I'm doing great. Matter of fact, I was just thinking about landlords, and I think they have a special place in God's heart. They provide a safe place for people and a clean place and a protection from the environment, kind of like the Lord does for us. So I just want to give a little shout out to landlords and give them a hug and give them a praise.
You know, it's so nice about you saying that, and that's true. So it's not that there's not bad landlords. Of course there are. There's bad everything. But there are phenomenal landlords too. And so we're coming off of a great relationship with our landlords, going into a new relationship that we believe will also be phenomenal. And we just believe that's grace. And I believe exactly what you said is correct, that some landlords, they're just like a gift from the Lord. And I think that's important for people to be aware of. Not everything you hear on the news is how everybody is, ever, in anything, anytime, ever. And some people are just...
That's exactly right. Yeah, that is exactly right.
And I love that. So that was a really, really excellent statement you made. So I just want you to know how much I appreciate that. And then I'll be able to say to the landlord, see, people like you.
Well, I feel bad now. Now I have to make up with Ace because I stepped all over his call.
We'll give him we'll give him plenty of opportunity, my brother.
Okay. All right. You take care.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye. All right. So Eric answered that trivia question. So, Ace, if you want to call back. I'll give you another trivia question. You'll be able to pull from your deep resources, and you know I'll help you. In the meantime, I want you to catch this. Now, listen to what I'm going to say. This is really, really important. I'm going to show you something that the Lord, I think he just really wants some people to hear this, and I don't know any other way to say it. Jesus was getting ready to be crucified. Not a pleasant scenario. I don't think anybody's got any questions there. He's talking to his disciples in John 16. Jesus finally gets them to go, oh, we believe. And he's like, now you believe? Wow, do you now believe? And this is what he says in John 16:32. Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered. Listen to what he says. This is just the Lord. Each to his own. And will leave me alone. And yet, I am not alone because the Father is with me. So I want to talk to you about this because of how important this is. Jesus tells them, look, the hour's coming. Things are getting tough. It's going to get bad. The 12 of you have hung out for the last 3+ years, been really close, really good friends, brothers, and all that kind of thing, doing ministry together, sweating together, watching evil spirits come out together, watching miracles together, transformation come together, just incredible. But here it's coming now where each of you are going to be scattered. Now listen, even in your hardest relationships, if you are scattered and you have to leave the circumstance has changed, the person cannot be with you cannot be with the person, however that goes down, you are just separated, and this happens, Jesus says, yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. Now, while you might want to try to move quickly over to where Jesus said, you know, lama lama, my God, why have you forsaken me? Eli, lama sabachthani. You might not understand that that's him actually quoting Psalm 22, and later in the psalm he says, you know, he's not departed. And yes, I know people say that's the moment God turns his face. I got it. I don't know if that's theologically correct. I don't care. Here's what I care about. I care about this. Jesus said, I am not alone. You're gonna bail on me. You're not going to stay with me. You're going to dump me. You're going to scatter. You're going to be pushed away. It ain't going to go good. It's not going to be a good thing. Bad. It's going to be bad. But I am not alone, because the Father is with me. So even when you have a situation where you're finding yourself potentially alone, you are not alone. Even when you find yourself, you know, void, it does not mean that all human communion will stop. But God is telling you, as Creator, through the life of Jesus Christ, you're never fully alone, because God is with you. That's what Emmanuel means. God with us. And so I want to bring up this very important passage that comes from David. Two different elements that David had at two different times. And listen, because what I want you to catch from this, the most important thing, is this is where the Lord wants you to go to. This is what you need to pray, to know, and to understand. We need the help from God to move from this psalm I'm going to read to the second psalm I'm going to read. Here's the first psalm I'm going to read, and if you identify with this, you are supposed to listen to this message. Psalm 25, verse 16 and 17. Turn to me and be gracious for me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart. Free me from my anguish. Turn to me and be gracious to me. I am lonely. I'm all alone. I am afflicted. Relieve me from the troubles. Relieve the troubles of my heart. And free me from my anguish. That is where people are when they are left alone. Not wanting to be alone, they are left alone. There is nobody there to help. That is where some of you are right now. This, what I'm going to read, is what you need to ask the Lord to get you to. You need God's help to move from what we just read to this. Psalm 68, verse 5 through 6. A father to the fatherless, a judge for the widows, is God in his holy habitation. God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out the prisoners into prosperity. Only the rebellious dwell on a parched land. For you who are going through it and you are lonely and afflicted, that is Psalm 25, verse 16. The answer is Psalm 68, verse 6. God makes a home for the lonely. You are not alone. You feel alone because you are lonely, but you are not alone, because God has not forsaken you. He has never forsaken you. He will never forsake you. He will never abandon you. He will never give up on you. He will never turn his face from you and ignore you as though you were not his child. No. Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 4, you find out without reservation that you, chapter 3 and chapter 4, that you are a temple of God, and that he loves you and he dwells inside of you and he will never abandon you. And you may feel lonely, and the human companionship, because of sin, it was not intended to be this way. This is part of the result of sin still. It doesn't matter what those idiotic people say in the media or politicians or academia or Hollywood. They're all nuts, right? Except for the true faithful ones, which are few, right? Okay, there's always a few that have not bowed the knee. And so in that process, we thank God for that remnant. But just understand this and don't miss this. You are not alone. God makes a home for the lonely. He has a home for you. Jesus said, "You think I'm alone? I'm not alone. The Father is with me." And you need to seize upon that truth. You need to understand that while that loneliness feels afflicting and painful and discouraging, God makes a home for the lonely. You are not by yourself, all alone in the universe. That is not true. You are a child of the Most High God. You have brothers and sisters who pray for you. Let me just say this real quickly. You don't even know they're praying for you. Let me tell you how I know that this is an absolute fact. I pray for a couple of churches. They have never known that I am praying for them, not once. And I just do it because the Lord puts it on my heart. That's how he does it. He puts you on people's hearts. He doesn't tell you. You just need to know God's saints are in there with you because God is with you. I don't want you to sit there and think, I'm all alone. There's nothing left. I got nothing. That is not true. The people of God, the children of God, the brothers and sisters of God with our Heavenly Father, he has made a home for you. He loves you. He cares about you. And how much more could you, I mean, what a unbelievable verse. Look at that, John 16:32. Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come. You will be scattered, each to his own, and you'll leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. You are not alone. And you might think, well, you know, it kind of feels that way. I know it feels that way. And if feelings were the guide by which you would live, then you would have an argument. But they're only a part of the train, and they're not the lead train. The truth is that God has made a home for the lonely, and he loves you. And I know you're out there, and some of you, I already know right now what's going on. Doesn't take a brilliant person, some prophetic person or anything else to figure out there are people out there right now who are listening to this and you're crying, you're weeping in your heart. God's message to you, I am with you. I am here. That's what he's saying to you. I will not abandon you. I will not forsake you. I will never leave you. I will not be afraid what man can do to me. Because God is my helper. Sometimes that's all you need to hang on to, is that the Lord loves you that much. I want to pray right now for people. Let me just pray real quickly. Father, we come before you right now, and I just want to thank you, Lord, that at times in my own life where I have felt so alone and just didn't feel like anybody could understand me or hear me or care, that you have always proven yourself to be faithful and true. You have never abandoned me, nor have you ever abandoned any one of us. And for those people that are out there that have had just really struggling, that, Lord, you would just comfort their hearts, since you are the God of comfort, and that they would know with absolute assurance that you are with them, that they are not alone, that you have made a home for the lonely. And Lord, you love them. And I wish there was a way that I could put my arms around them, but I just ask you to put your spiritual arms around these people and love them, and give them a kiss on the forehead. And let them know that they're cared for. That's just all I can pray to you.
break the pain of that loneliness with the power of the truth that you are with your people. And thank you for Emmanuel. Thank you, Jesus, that you became one of us. Without you, we just couldn't make it. You are the reason we can. Thank you, Jesus, for your love for us. Thank you, Father, for caring so much for us that you make a home for us. Just like Eric was mentioning about a landlord, you're our landlord. You're our comfort. And Lord, forgive us for grieving the Holy Spirit, quenching the Holy Spirit. Help us to be more sensitive to you and to live in the power of your truth. I pray for this audience, Lord. I ask you to bless them. There's some people here that just really love you. They just really want more of you. Reveal yourself to them. Open yourself to them. Show them. Open their minds. Let them know you. Not know of you, Lord. Let them know you. Let them be blessed in you. Let them be able to say like David did, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Let people be able to really say it and mean it. Change lives, even right now. I can't do it, Lord, but you can. You can do anything. Thank you. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
All right, so that, of course, didn't go as anything that we planned because that's just kind of like the nature of the show. But I really do believe that if you're a person and you're hurting to that level, you need to find that strength, that core in the Lord. As it is said in 1 Samuel 30, verse 5 and 6, David strengthened himself in the Lord. Please do so, okay? All right. All right, folks, you have been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.